It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji. I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.
Welcome to the show that was founded on Kingdom Principles, a show that really is designed with you in mind. It's a show to move you from where you are to where you want to be. And it's the show that I get to do every Wednesday right here on LA Talk Live Radio with my co-host, KJ.
I'm doing well. I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Can you can't see that I'm excited, man. Can you not see me?
Oh, I can feel it. I can feel it. It's electrifying the room where you are. I can see the currents.
You see? I'm saying hello to KJ's spirit. He is away on assignment, but he left us in really good hands because he gave us a dynamic show for today. We're going to continue with our soul series, the mind, the body, and the soul. And we are picking up with a new sub-series in the soul series called Business. And it's a series that's really near and dear to all of our hearts because all of us are business people. And we really want to make certain that people get it when we say we're doing what we say we're doing. We're not going to come to you every week after week and say to you, here's a principle, and not do it ourselves. Man, that's ludicrous, right?
Yep, it is. It is. For sure it is, yes.
So, coming up on the show, we're going to continue with the soul series. We're going to introduce our business aspect of it, and we're going to talk to a man. I don't even know how to say it, man. I've never met someone that made me a better person, and I'm not saying that because I'm biased. I'm saying it because this young woman is someone that I really want you to kind of hone into, and I say that because she's coming to tell a story about business triumph, loss, and still having to pick up the pieces and move forward. You do not want to miss her. I'm serious. She's coming on at the 20 after, but before she does, I want to make certain that we all understand the importance of not just getting your LLC registered, getting your tax ID, and getting your business, I guess, doors opened without making certain that you've got the right frame of mind. I told you back in August that your soul makes up three parts. Your mind, your spirit, what's the other one? Emotions.
My body and soul, emotions, all that, yeah. Emotions,
that's one where sometimes you can be in a fit of rage and it can turn everything that you worked so hard for into just shambles. I want to make certain that when you think about, if you're in the service business like I am and we are, when you think about serving others and you're putting yourself in that person's shoes, it's called empathy. And you always want to have the characteristic of empathy, especially in the service business. If you're going in business just to make money, after a while, you will find yourself, and I'm saying this from experience, you make as much money as you could make, but your attitude can be so far off the mark. So what am I saying, Doc? Be careful. Be careful to make certain that your attitude, all right, is in check. Be careful when you are handling and dealing with people, because what if, and I'm just putting it out there now, you back me up with this now. What if the way you treated that person, let's say you were in a bad mood, right? And it came across as being in a bad mood, and you messed around and you injured the soul of that person. You've not just injured that person, man. You've messed with their mindset. You messed with their emotional, and you're that's a trajectory to really score.
It could be a chain effect, because you hurt that person. That person could go on to hurt another person.
You better believe it. And that's usually how it happens too. You can have bad service in a service industry, and you're thinking it's just that one person that maybe you've maimed or hurt. Man,
that one person can rub off on the whole group.
Yep.
As they say, all you need is that one bad apple. That's all you need is that one bad apple. You know?
Right. You know, you really want to be careful with that. You do.
Yeah.
So I like the fact, Niles, the way you do things, the way you kind of orchestrate. Sometimes I try to pick Niles' brain to see how he's operating. And I'm like, you know what? Nah. I'll just let him bring it to Canva. I'll bring it to canvas. And you're doing a wonderful job on that, Niles. I'm so thoroughly, man, it's the way you roll out projects to really hone in on what people are in need of. It's not like we're...
I try to make it simple.
Too, right?
Yeah, I try to make it simple, you know, in layman's terms, because I feel like once you get into, you know, the rhetoric of, you know, education and formalities and all that, you miss the people. If you keep it simple and straight, the people feel that in their mind, in their hearts, and in, you know, their spirits and so on. So, you know, no need to use, you know, extensive or vernacular, you know, just make it plain and simple so we can all understand it, you know. And they always say, like, the test of an intelligence is making something difficult simple.
You better believe it.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Some of the best teachers, especially in physics, organic and inorganic chemistry, and those were some of the most challenging subjects for me, but I knew I had to take it in undergrad, right, if I was going to med school, so I had to ace it, or at least I thought I had to. Some of the best instructors, the best professors were the ones whose English, and I kid you not, may not have sounded really, you know, good, what I thought was good, right? But the way they broke that really complex theorem or theory down, it was mind-boggling, and I could really kind of get the meat off the bone. So I like the fact that you are all-inclusive of people who have small businesses and perhaps are being overlooked, you know? And you did a lot of work, man, and I'm serious. My hat's off to you. You did a lot of work in the research in businesses, and the fact that you wanted to make certain that they were kind of stand-up kind of business. Would you, if you don't mind, explain just a little bit of what went in to grab a business, take a look at a business in its entirety, and then see if it's something that fits the model of the kingdom?
Oh, for sure. The research that I did for all of the companies pretty much had to do with their initiative. I think the initiative is important, and it needs to align with, you know, kingdom principles and so on. So I went through and pretty much did research. I started in LA, of course. Then I went into, you know, different parts of the US, New York, Atlanta, and so on. And I took a look at growing businesses, you know, also established businesses that came up, you know, and helped, I mean, I guess, and progressed, you know, based on their morals and you know, their values and their service to the people. So that's the one thing that was extremely important to me, was looking at their initiative and, you know, seeing that portion where these people are about the people. They're about the audience. They're about finding that need and serving the people. And that stuck out to me, because I think you can tell the difference between, as you mentioned, someone who's in it for monetary gain, value, versus somebody who actually cares. Of course, they have to sell a product. You have to make a living, right? But you can tell the difference between somebody who's in it for the monetary value and someone who is in it to be a change agent, someone who is in it to truly serve the people, you know, and that's where their values come from. And those are the people who stick with you. Those are the companies that you want to buy from, because you realize that they don't see you as a number. They see you as God's child. They see you as a human being. They see you as a full individual, you know. That's the difference between seeing someone as a number versus someone, you know, someone can tell, like, I see you. I'm looking at you. You're in front of me. Therefore, you're getting all of my attention right now. Definitely. You know, and that's I hate to say it, it's somewhat rare nowadays when it comes to businesses. So, you know, we need to, you know, shout out those businesses and commend them because, you know, being, you know, that circle, you know, in a room full of, you know, squares, you know, it's hard to be that, you know. So then you have to tap into the heart of what is making that person, you know, operate in that way, because it's not easy, especially when the other entities around you aren't operating in that way. So I thought of something. I'm like, man, I thought of this, like when it comes to, you know, operating in the kingdom and doing business in the kingdom, I'm like, man has their ethics, you know, their philosophy and philosophy and so on. But I'm like, there's also a kingdom code of ethics. You know what I'm saying?
Come on now.
A kingdom code of ethics. I'm like, forget the ethics that man puts in place, because that's subjective and it goes up and down. And it's there's so many different variables. But when you're operating from, you know, the kingdom, you know, principles and the kingdom code of ethics, the foundation is pretty sturdy. You know, it's either yay or nay, you know, this or that. There's no gray area and so on, because God is very precise in his initiative and his directions when it comes to us. He's very precise. He will tell you what it is, like it is, when wherever you are, you know. And I think when you constantly tap into that, you start to serve the people. It becomes a part of who you are as an individual. It becomes a part of your heart and soul, you know, the soul of man, you know. It gets to that core. And that's how you know when somebody is operating their business in the kingdom, you know, based on kingdom code of ethics. You know, I did my research when it came to these companies. Once again, their initiative, I looked them up on Instagram. You know, I looked on like some where some of their proceeds go, you know, and I'm like, okay, these proceeds go to causes. Yeah. Like the two companies that, you know, we're going to shout out this week, Renowned and also Fear of God. Renowned, they donated a portion of their proceeds last year to some of the movements, but also to the George Floyd family, you know, to some of the things that we experienced last year as a nation. That money went to, you know, those causes. And I'm like, that's, you know what I'm saying? So we can get behind that, and we should get behind that. So,
absolutely.
You know, it's not about what someone says. It's not about how someone talks. It's about, you know, are they walking the walk? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And they don't have to do it in a way where, you know, they're boastful or you know, prideful about it or bragging. They're just doing it by being busy. And it's like, you know, it's just a part of their movement now. They don't have to force it. Once you give your mind and your heart to God, that's just how things go. It's just a part of the program, you know? And, you know, so that's what we are getting behind when it comes to, you know, partnering with other businesses and organizations. We have our initiative, you know, which is to serve the kingdom. And in serving the kingdom, we serve the people. And there are, you know, some other entities that are into doing the same thing. So those are the ones that we are partnering with. Those are the ones that we are targeting. Because, you know, think about how much power we have as one unit on the Tunji Show. Think about how we can expand and grow with these other entities who are also for the same cause.
Yeah.
You know, it's a beautiful thing.
Wow. Yeah. You're giving me chill bumps here, man. I'm sitting here and I'm listening to all of this and I'm really trying not to cry because you remind me of David, a man after God's own heart. And whenever you can have a heart, man, for people, that's what matters. I always tell my daughter, Ty, make certain in business, you go into the business that God is in. God is in the people business. He's in the people business. You know, yes, we need money down here to survive. I'm not religious. Uh-oh, that's for another show. I'm not the kind of person that thinks, and I used to. I really, really did. I was the cheerleader for, you know, let's just be good pray about it, and then I would give away the store until $4 million later, and I'm looking at, oh, dear God, do I file bankruptcy today, or do I try to scrape my way out of this? So when you are in business, honestly, there are so many variables, but the first thing that you really want to do is make certain that you're doing it for His glory. And a lot of people won't do that because, if, you know, you think about making $1 million in the first 6 months. I'm not saying it's for His, it's not for His glory, but if you're not rooted and grounded in that kind of foundation, it'll overtake you, and you got to be careful with that.
For sure. That's why I make distinction between the kingdom code of ethics versus the world's, you know, business ethic and so on. Absolutely. Because, you know, that is, it's shaky, you know, based on this situation, what is best from man's eye, you know, regarding how to navigate through the situation versus what is right in the kingdom. You know what I'm saying? And that subjectivity can be your rise or fall.
You better believe.
You know what I'm saying? So I operate in God's heart, you know, not yours, because if you're in God's heart, you know, that will affect and, you know, kind of permeate who you are as an individual and your mindset, your heart, and so on. So I'm like, stick with the kingdom business principles, you know, because you know it's tried and true. Man's, like I said, we up and down sometimes, you know, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like that, man. Man, you just... Man, you know, let me just put a pause in this right quick. And I know we're on the timeline and we're going by our schematics, but Niles, from the time that you first came on the show, seriously, as a guest, you know, till coming and holding my ladder and my holding yours, and we're growing together, and I'm seeing you now. Wow. You were not a bad person, you know, the first time a few years ago, but the growth is what I'm saying. I'm only saying the growth, man, the maturity, the perfection, because that's what, you know, in Hebrews, that's what it means. Perfect means to be mature in everything you say and everything you do. And you are exemplifying that. So my hat's off to you, and thank you. Thank you for truly being an example of what I really do study every day, and what I try to do in my own life and in business is be that example. I'm not saying that I'm not above reproach. We're none of us are. We're all about that grace, man, that grace, that unmerited favor. But to know that you can walk in that, and that's what you're doing, and you're showcasing it every day that you get up. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. It comes with stripes. It comes with stripes and you know, lashes. And a lot of the times it's the trouble that we get ourselves into. So that's why you will always hear me go back to, you know, the creator, you know, the originator of, you know, of it all. Because I've tried to do it my way. You know what I'm saying? So the progress that you're seeing comes from me trying to do it my way and realizing that my way is subjective. You know what I'm saying? God's way is objective. So now operating in the arts and in an industry where it's extremely difficult to make a living from it, you know, and a lot of people struggle to get to that point if they're even blessed to get to that point. And I've realized the only way that I can really maneuver and navigate through this journey and to be prosperous in it is giving my mind, heart, and soul to God. Because I'm like, you know, it's operating from the perspective of, Lord, all I need is $3,000 a month for my rent. That's all I need versus, all right, you just throw it up there and know that it's going to get taken care of if you do the work. I'm like, you know, one of the other stance comes from like a place of fear. And also, it's scarcity. You know, all I need is this. I'm like, God ain't talking about all you need. God's talking about everything. You know what I'm saying? You're focusing on this little small pebble, and you can have so much more if you go to, you know, on the right team. So, yeah, man, this came with some lessons. It came with some stripes. It came with being hard-headed, you know?
Hey, I know a thing or two about being hard-headed. I swear to you, I really do. If you are listening to this show for the very first time, I want to say thank you so very, very much. It is because of you that we get to do this every Wednesday with such joy and such fervor. We'd like for you to be engaged with us. You can literally call 323-203-0815. And hey, we'll take questions and all of that good stuff, or at Lance. We don't take opinions because they don't matter up here. And I'd like for you to join me, if you will, on Talk to Tanji Mondays, 7:30 Pacific Standard Time. It's where we get to be interactive. Someone said for 5 minutes, I'm saying for about 60 seconds, just long enough to say, hey, just checking in and making certain that you're right where you need to be. And little words of encouragement is what we do. And we literally encourage one another. That's Mondays on Facebook Live. If I'm not mistaken, it's on my Dr. Tanji Show handle there. And I want to give a shout out to a home care agency that's located in Atlanta, Georgia, and they do all things skilled care and non-skilled. That's your certified nursing assistants that either make certain that mom or dad is taking their medication, make sure that they have their meal preps, or take them out to, you know, errands or what have you. They are sponsoring our show for this month, and I want to thank them very, very much from my heart, and you better have sponsored us. you can reach them at 678-381-1540. That's 678-381-1540. We've got a wonderful staff over there that's really taking care of business, and give them a call if you're in need of a little extra care or some skilled care with your loved one. All right. So thank you so very much, me and my Nana. Yes. All right.
Me and my Nana.
So, drum roll, please. Yep.
So we have a special guest, you know, from me and my Nana. And she will just break it all down for us when it comes to serving people and how you develop a heart, mind, and soul, the soul of a man, to serve man and woman. So we have guest Ty Brown coming on. I'm not sure if she's coming on right now, but folks, get ready. Round of applause. Yes, she is right there. Yes.
Oh,
yes. Yes. Welcome. Welcome.
All right. She's not my daughter. She's not my daughter. How you doing, baby?
Good.
Wonderful. Good, good, good. It's so good to have you here.
I'm absolutely happy to be here.
Are you really? I know, right? She says finally. Did you hear that? Man, nice.
Welcome to the show.
Take it away.
Oh, no. You were about to say something. I feel like you were about to say something that was already. So go ahead.
I was just going to say, when I had a dream 28 years ago to do this thing called the nanny service, right? I laughed at God. I did. I had just finished my last little radiation therapy. I had cancer in my thyroid. So the thyroid was ablated, and I had to go for treatment. And I remember distinctively hearing a voice saying, you must now start your business. Now, mind you, my dad was very successful as a body mechanic in Mississippi, in Columbus. But I didn't know the first thing about man starting a business. What? So I laughed. I did, man. This little baby was young lady was 6 years old. He had a brother that was 4 and another brother that was 2. And I'm saying, start a business? Are you kidding me? I've got these 3 babies, man. And married. And we had just gotten a house and a couple of cars. And that was one of the greatest sacrifices that I have ever made in my life, because at some point in your life, you want to get to that mindset that is not about you. It's about the next generation. It's about leaving a legacy or leaving an inheritance. Oftentimes, and I'm not knocking any of our beautiful mothers and fathers and granddaddies and grandmothers in our culture, but there are times when we are 10 years behind trying to catch up. And it can be really difficult if In your hands, you've got creativity. In your mind, you've got freedom. But your feet are taking you to a job that is not allowing you the expression of, hey, I'm living for him. Come on, man. So this is not what I'm looking at. I love that you literally every day after school would come in and answer the phone. You know, we had a little two-suite office, and this one wonderful woman would come and answer the phone. Good afternoon, me and my Nana. And I'm like, what? So I'd like, Niles, if you would please just have your way, and then we're going to get into, like I said, at the bottom of the hour, how you pick up from loss to keep going. So take it away, babe.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to ask that special question that we always ask. How did you get here?
Oh, my God. Honestly, how I got here was, one, we all, for me, it was God, Jesus. It has literally been a labor of love to do what I do. My mom always instilled in me that, you know, if you love what you do and you can do it for free, then that's your purpose. You're in purpose. So a lot of times, I graduated in 2011 from Jackson State University in Jackson, Mississippi. I had no clue where I was going or what I was going to do. But, you know, my mom, probably a couple weeks before graduation in May, said, hey, you know, I got me and my Nana. And I'm like, okay, am I going to get paid? And she was like, yeah, you'll get paid. I'll pay you. I was like, okay, cool. So me being naive at the time, I was like, okay, well, I'll just go ahead. On your word, I'll get paid. Well, I get to Atlanta, Georgia, May to be exact. And, you know, we started, it's three clients, and my last check was on July, I still remember the date, July 14th, 2011. Ouch. She couldn't pay me anymore. So I'm like, okay, one or two things you can do. You can either go get a job, or, you know, you could just really stick this thing out. And I will say it has been literally a labor of love, because from 2011 all the way up to 2016, I didn't get paid.
Ouch. Did you hear that?
I did not get paid. No check. So here I am, literally starting a business again. I've gone broke 5 times before I even hit 30, but I knew I was in the right field. And I can honestly say, fast forward with everything that went on, we have over 100 plus people now that we service in 28 counties in Georgia.
Wow, 28 counties, 100 plus mm-hmm. people. Wow, yeah. That is commendable. Wow.
Yes.
So I guess in hearing that, I want to talk a little bit about your preparation. You know, how were you prepared to serve? Because like most people from 2011 to 2016, they're not going to go without when it comes to, you know, finances and so on. So one, you have to have a vision, but also you have to be sturdy in your foundation when it comes to right. that relationship with the creator. So tell us about that. There has to be some kind of preparation behind being able to, you know, deal with all of that and the ups and downs and so on. So like, talk to us about that process, preparing, being prepared, you know, to serve God's people.
great question. So one, as you said, the foundation, I don't know how to quit. That's something that, you know, thank God my mom has not only said, but she showed me through her actions. So I don't know how to quit. So what I would usually have to do, I didn't have a car for one. So I would take the bus. I would scrub up when I couldn't pay people plenty of times. I would scrub up and I would go be their nurse aide for the day. And it is sometimes take me 2 hours on the bus to get to one patient just to, you know, not get paid, you know, and I would do that continuously for like months and sometimes even years because I didn't have a car. So my brother and his girlfriend at the time, they were like, look, you know, we see that you're trying, you know, you can stay with us. So I would get up every morning at 6 o'clock. I would pray. I would get on the bus. I would go to an office where it was a one-room suite. And I would literally pretend as if the staff was already there. I would like, okay, good morning, RN. Good morning, LPN. Good morning, CNA supervisor. I'm speaking to already these spirits that I know will literally come one day. And I just literally kept my head down. And of course, you got times where you're literally crying yourself to sleep or literally wailing in the floor. And it's like, do you really, really want me to do this? Like, because I'm literally about to lose my mind. So I need something other than, you know, what I see here. So I would literally talk to my late husband and he would like, boo, you know, you just gotta continue with it. Like, let's just dream. So we would say, oh man, in 2016, like, hey guys, you know, I'm bi-coastal and I get to, you know, be anywhere I want to. And I'm saying these things while I'm like, I got a negative $35 in the bank. Or I'm literally, my excitement would be literally getting my EBT card. And I'm not ashamed to, you know, to admit it. I would get my EBT card, take the train on Friday nights to eat sushi that I can get with my EBT card and watch people and just dream. And I would be like, okay, one day I'm going to be successful. One day I'm going to have my own car. One day I'll have the people to, you know, just see the vision. Like, I just can't quit. So that right there got me to where I am now. So when I have a whole staff now in the Atlanta office, and now I tell them, okay, that person doesn't have a car. Well, I want you to stop what you're doing, and I want you to get a bus route to them because I know how that felt. Mm-hmm. So I make sure to go back and help that person who was once in my shoes. So that right there got me to literally where I am and the process in a sense.
Wow. It's always great hearing people's stories and their process. And, you know, that just provides other people with inspiration and motivation, right. You know, to not quit and to understand is on at the end of the tunnel, you know, and not at the end of, you know, tunnel like life, but at the end of that first tunnel. Then you have the next one and so on. So that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful process. See people just blossom and flourish. My next question is, what is me and my Nana?
Me and my Nana. So, Me and My Nana is a private home care agency located in the state of Georgia. Of course, we provide skilled, which includes like wet to dry, wound bags, med management. Those are your skilled. And skilled is your registered nurses as well as your licensed practical nurses. Now, we also have CNAs, which is certified nursing assistants, as well as a PCA, which is a personal care attendant. Those help day-to-day. We call it activities of daily living. So they go into the home. They get the care plan that the skilled personnel has created for that particular client, and they only do what's on that that care plan. And they render service to someone who is in need, like a bath or getting, you know, food or shopping or errands, something like that.
Okay. Well, great. Okay. And how do you prepare, and how did you prepare for all those ups and downs? Because when it comes, and this is basically entrepreneurship, when it comes to building your own, and you have to also build your own blueprint, how do you prepare for that? Because, you know, me being in the arts, I understand those bumps and bruises, you know, those ups and downs. And what kept you pressing on? I know you said you don't know when you don't quit. And that's understandable, but I know there's those days where you're like, Lord have mercy, is there anything else that can happen? Because this is too much for me, and you want to quit, you know? So what is that driving force? Like, what kept you just at it? Because, of course, it's not quitting, but it's not quitting for a reason, for a purpose. Mm-hmm. So that's what I want to tap into.
Okay, my reason was because I envisioned a life that I wanted. So in order to get that particular life that I wanted, or have rather, I had to keep my focus. And what I mean by that is, literally, I would take scriptures, and that sometimes would get me through the day. Like one of the scriptures, I'm not a Bible connoisseur like my mother is, but I can say one of the scriptures that I do remember is, though he slay me, I still trust him. So even though I'm getting threatening calls, even though like the lights are off, even though I don't have gas money, I don't have a bus card some days, and even though, you know, I'm going to an empty like office space, I would literally sit on the floor and maybe sing some gospel songs, or I would just literally like just read scripture. That was like my way of getting through a lot of those days. And then I had a partner who understood where I was. So it was like me and him just tag teaming on how we wanted our life to be. So that right there was like the catalyst to get us to where we are now.
Awesome. And how has your relationship with God matured throughout this process? Because I can only imagine, you know, the maturation that you experience in God, you know, because he's the giver of it all. So, you know, tell us about that.
I can honestly say you won't know until you go through it yourself. One of the things that my mom always instilled in me is like, you know, we'll pray because, you know, that's mama's God. But until you be in the midst by yourself and those late night hours and nobody's around, you can't get mama on the phone like you usually have to, you got to go for what you know. But it also, a lesson for me is you got to want it. Because if you don't want it, and if it's just something like, you know, just a chore, or, you know, oh, I pray and it'll just magically appear, well, a lot of times he ain't going to answer it. He ain't going to answer it the way that want it to be done. He ain't going to answer it the time fashion that you want it to be done. So you have to literally trust him in every single possible way. Wow. That's all I can say.
Okay.
Wow.
Now, I think this is a question we all have to kind of ask ourselves, regardless what our purpose and what our gift is. How do you know when it's God? And how do you know when it's self, if you understand what I'm saying? This is the vision that I have versus this is the vision that God has. Because I feel like a lot of us kind of teeter back and forth between, oh, this is the plan. This is what's supposed to happen. On whose terms, though? Is that really what God wants? Or are you trying to force that by saying this is what God wants for me? So how do you distinguish between those two voices? Because I feel like all of us have to have, you know, that experience.
Okay,
so is this what I want, or is this what God wants?
All right, okay. I'll give you an example for me that really was like the catalyst to say, okay, this is God's voice. 2013, we moved to LA. So I'm like, okay, I'm tired of not getting paid. So I'm going to just hop the boat, you know, relinquish my duties to people that was in the office at the time. And I'm going to just go have fun. I'm thinking, okay, this is what God wants me to do because, you know, it opened the door for me to, you know, go to LA. So it's like, okay, this is God. Well, I ran, sort of like Jonah and the whale. And I want to say 2014, the people at that time who I thought had my best interest at heart, all of them quit at the same time. So
interesting. Wow.
I'm literally having to go right back around that mountain that I thought I passed and I thought I heard from God to get on the plane and go on to LA. Well, they quit. So what you gonna do? Mama can't go back because she's now busy with another assignment. So that leaves me. So that's when I had to literally go to him for myself and like, okay, is this what you really want me to do? Because I don't want to struggle no more. I don't like not having. I want to have this lifestyle. I want to go ahead and get it now versus working my way towards it. So when I do get it, I'll appreciate it. So it was God. You'll know when it's God's voice because it looked like it's going like great, but it's going to be testing. Like mama always say, it's going to be testing of that word that's going to be in you. So you'll know that it's God's voice because it looked kind of rocky a little bit, but then if you keep going with it, I swear, I can't even explain it. Like it gets good. It gets good. Yes.
Wow. You know, it gets good.
You know, you're real. You'll know.
Wow.
Wow. That's funny. Okay.
Did I tell you that you were in for a treat, man? Did I tell
for you? For sure. That good has sent me for a loop. Okay, so when it comes to pursuing your purpose, but also dealing with losses, can you tell us about some of those experiences that, you know, you had that kind of tested you, shaped you, and in also talking about that, I want you to share some invaluable insight that you've gained throughout these experiences that you would like for people to kind of hold on to when it comes to their journey. I know that's a loaded question. That's a whole lot of in there, you know. That's a burrito right there, but yeah. Okay.
I would say, and I'll start October 7th. October 7th is a day in 2020 that I'll never, ever, 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 ever forget. It was a day that it's like any other day. My husband, you know, who at the time was on dialysis. So it was me and his mom that would tag team. When it was time for me to go to Atlanta, she would fly over to help me with him because I never wanted him to be alone. So I made sure that, you know, she was over here. So I'm thinking it's just a typical day. But October 7th is the last day that I see my husband alive. And I still remember that day because the night before, and I still have the pictures in my phone, October 6th to be exact, I just retwisted his hair. We're watching the basketball game because at the time we lived in North Hollywood. So October 7th come. It was just a regular day. And I gave him a big old hug and I told him, you know, when I get back, we're going to watch Sex and the City because that's one of our pastimes that he would love to do with me. So I'm like, dude, I'm only gone for 2 weeks. He's like, okay, boo, take your time. This is what we pray for. Go on. So I had his blessing. So I'm getting on the plane. Everything is normal. And mind you, I go a couple weeks back. I stepped into, I call it the land of milk and honey. Mm-hmm. It was one of those times where everything that I knew about God in a sense was tested up until September 27th. We got a huge contract with the VA hospital, well, the VA for this entire state of Georgia. So when we signed this contract, he literally ushered me in where we were getting 12, 13, 14, 15 patients a day. So I was in Atlanta October 7th because my team at the time was like, look, we never had this overflow like this before. So I need you. So I'm on a plane. Fast forward October 18th, a day that, you know, of course, no one will ever forget. It was just a regular day. It was a Sunday. And I went to sleep. I just talked to him earlier that day. You know, I could tell he wasn't feeling himself because he really didn't say much. So I was like, hey, you know, how you doing? You know, I only got a couple more days and we'll get back. And we're going to, you know, you make all these plans, right? Well, 11:08 Eastern Standard Time, I get a call from my sister-in-law. And my sister-in-law was like, look, Ty, I need you to call 911 because Harbika stopped breathing. Okay. I'm in panic mode because I'm asleep. So I jump up. Thank God my mom is here with me. So I jump up and all of a sudden I can't get to 911. So I'm calling my brother. I'm calling my sister-in-law. I'm like, look, call 911. Do what you got to do. My, you know, mother-in-law, she was doing CPR. She was, you know, banging on people's doors. And literally, when the ambulance came, they came and started doing CPR on him. I'm on the phone the entire time, mind you. They started doing CPR. Then all of a sudden, 5 minutes, he says, I got to quit because the doctor says, go ahead and announce his time of death. You're like, nah, this can't be. I mean, you got to be seriously. We made all these plans, you know. He just got awarded, like, to get my kidney at the Mayo Clinic. You know, I've been with this guy since I was 18 years old, and he was my first love. You got to be kidding. So I blacked out. I just started screaming, and thank God my mom was there because she literally healed me. And I literally had to just man up in a sense. Like, my body went to autopilot, and this is where you literally, as you know, a new widow, you really got to trust him. Like, everything that you think you know about God, he surprises you in a way because you thought you knew him in this way. Because when I called him, you know, last time, you know, when he did something like this, you was there. So now all of a sudden you take my soul away, God. Like, who are you? So you start to question. You question everything. Mm-hmm. You question your identity. You question, like, was I good enough? Or, you know, should I have been back over there? You start all these questions about God and to him. So I'm literally having to get on a plane the next day. And Tuesday, I'll never forget that. That's when my baby brother drove me up to go view his body in a bag. And he was cold. And that right there, it didn't hit me until October 31st when I had to bury him. So I said all of that to say, what was your question first? I'm sorry.
No, it was just dealing with loss and some invaluable insight that you gained through your experiences. And like, that's something that's extremely heavy. Like, talk about loss. Yeah. You know, somebody you've been with since you were 18.
Yeah.
And just losing a partner, just anyone in general. You know, you kind of just took us through all the emotions right there. So I am sure, and I'm hearing that you learned some invaluable things from that. So you were just kind of like, you know, going into that, like, you know, through the process of dealing with, you know, death and so on, and then going into autopilot. But I'm sure through that experience, like, you learned probably tons of things that, you know, still kind of, you know, just crafted and molded who you are today, and things that you will probably always take with you.
Yeah.
So,
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I just wondered if you got the full
question. Yeah. I can say that I'm a better woman now than I was last year. I've learned so much about myself. And I'll say this, and every widow probably understands this. When they lower your partner in the ground, the next day, your whole life, your new life begin, because what you once did, like, I didn't neglect myself, but his need was first, you know? A lot of people don't know, in 2017, he coded on me on 4 times. So I asked, that was our wedding day to be exact, November the 23rd of 2017. We were supposed to get married. I won't go into a long story, but he coded on me the entire weekend, where they had to turn his body for 18 hours, turn it cold, and then another 12 hours and turn him hot, just to make sure that he won't be a vegetable. So in that moment, I'm like, God, if you just, I'm begging. So it's like, God, would you just let me get married to him? And I can't, when I look back on it now, I can't be mad at how God did what he did, because he let me have 35 months with him. And he redeemed the time where it felt like I was married to this man for like over 20 years. It would be to the point when he get out of dialysis, I would take him to the beach, and we had chairs in our back, and I'll make sure by holding his hand and making sure I guide him to his chair so he can hear the waves or get the sunlight on him. So it's those little things like that, that, you know, I can reminisce and like, dang, I was a good ass wife. So excuse my French, but I mean, you have to look at yourself and you're like, I did a heck of a job. I did everything I was supposed to do. So I don't feel regret now that I'm living my life to the fullest, because I did everything I was supposed to do. I ushered him in to his promotion. So I'm good. I can sleep at night. I did exactly what I was supposed to do as a wife, as a business owner. Even when business was kind of tough and whatnot, I made sure I kept him in the loop. I FaceTimed him when I was, you know, in Atlanta. So November 1st, it goes back to November 1st, my whole life changed. So I'm now studying me. Like, what does Todd like to do? You have to start questioning yourself. Okay, what do you like to eat? What is your favorite color? What is your pastime? And I couldn't answer any of those questions. So all up until now, I started dating myself. I date the heck out of myself. I spoil myself. I make sure I try new experiences. I date. I go out to eat by myself. I go to new adventures by myself. I do it purposely, because one thing that my late husband said to me in July of last year, Ty, if something were to ever happen to me, I want you to move on. I want you to get married again, because you're a beautiful person and you don't need to be in your head because you're always so busy. So I get that. That right there is my saving grace. Like, okay, God, when the time is right, you'll open up my heart and the new gentleman will come in. But I can't get to that part right there unless I release the old baggage. Anything that I don't like about myself, my characteristics, the way I think, my mood, whatever it may be, I need that to change. So when I have that new, I won't bring that into that new. So if that answers your question.
Amen.
Wow.
Pass the collection plate. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Niles, when I told you that we were going to have a really special person. to be biased. Now, do you believe me?
Oh, for sure.
I want to.
For sure.
Wow. I've got to say this in the last few seconds that we've got here. Yeah, I know, right? So, no. It was good. Everything is divine and everything is purposeful. So, Niles, thank you so much for doing what you did, because you touched where I probably couldn't as a mom. You understand what I'm saying? So thank you, sir. I want to say this to you, my beautiful, beautiful, one of my best friends and my first child. Thank you so very much for believing in me and keeping me sane. Thank you for picking up the torch and allowing me to live a life that I never dreamed in my life that I could live. Thank you so very much. I'm grateful to you. I love you, man. To the moon and the stars, I do. Thank you.
Thanks, Mom.
This is our show. Wow is all I can muster up right now, because I am so full. Forgive me, Sam, for going over. Thank you. Thank you, LA Talk Radio. Thank you, Niles, Sir Niles, for doing what you did. Thank you, KJ, for bringing this to life. And thank you, Harvey Quiz Ryan Stokes. And didn't call me mama, and it's okay. But you, man, thank you. That's our show. I love you to the moon and the stars. Don't forget to check your girl out on Talk to Tanji Monday, 7:30 on Facebook Live. And right here, front and center, Wednesdays, LA Talk Radio, the Dr. Tanji Show with my Niles and KJ. Until then, see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji. I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.